Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is November 7, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about WeChat Pay now integrated into Worldline. Siam Commercial Bank, Liquid Group to allow cross-border QR payments. Semaphone's Intelligence Plus integrated into its telephone payments solution. Use of mobile wallets by U.S. consumers rebounds, study finds. SIA equity stakes change hands. Queensland Neobank preps 2020 launch. How subscriptions complicate cross-border B2B payments. Visa on challenging B2B payments status quo. How back-office fintech boosts SPA's recurring revenue opportunity. Now let's get started. WeChat Pay now integrated into Worldline. Worldline has revealed it is adding WeChat Pay to its payment solution in Switzerland, allowing visitors from China to pay using their smartphone. WeChat Pay is one of China's mobile payment systems, and by being integrated into Worldline's payment solution at its POS terminals, Chinese tourists are now more likely to make additional purchases in Swiss stores using WeChat Pay. WeChat Pay has 800 million users. Accepting Chinese mobile payment brands, merchants facilitate their customers' user experience, as, via this, Chinese customers in Switzerland can pay just as easily as they can at home. Moreover, WeChat Pay is part of WeChat, a product of the Chinese internet group Tencent. Worldline is WeChat Pay's acquiring partner in Europe, which makes merchants using Worldline's services to seamlessly add this proven payment system to the options they offer their customers. Also, additional steps are not required to pay using WeChat Pay, but scanning the QR code is all that is needed. Siam Commercial Bank, Liquid Group to allow cross-border QR payments. Siam Commercial Bank, SCB, and Liquid Group have strategically partnered to allow cross-border QR payment acceptance in Singapore and Thailand. Through the Singapore-Thailand corridor for QR payments, SCB will be acting as the sponsoring bank for all Thai banking applications that support cross-border QR payments. Customers will be able to pay for their purchases using their respective Thai QR payment apps at Liquid Group's participating merchants in Singapore. Via the agreement, both players will be allowed to spearhead cross-border interoperability for QR payments between Thai mobile banking applications and Liquid Group's network of regional payment apps. Also, Liquid Group will work with SCB to deliver additional innovative services to their customers through its integrated cross-border payment and marketing platform for partners. Partners will be enabled to run marketing campaigns in order to promote awareness and usage of their apps amongst Thai consumers. Semaphone's Intelligence Plus integrated into its telephone payments solution. Semaphone has revealed that Intelligence Plus, a real-time data analytics offering, integrated into CardProtect Voice Plus, its patented telephone payments solution. As such, the provider of data security and multi-channel compliance solutions for call and contact centers offers its Intelligence Plus, which ensures that CardProtect Voice Plus customers have access to real-time data from calls and payment transactions. The solution provides customers with insights into their payments platform performance, while customers can elect to receive all their raw data from the CardProtect Voice Plus platform. Moreover, the functionality allows customers to add the data to their own database management system, DBMS, and completely customize reports, as well as to change the appearance and reporting periods. With Intelligence Plus, customers are given the ability to query data, develop, and generate a standard set of reports. Thus, contact center management is informed on business strategy and where to maximize resources. Call management insights, e.g. the ability to view the percentage of successful payment transaction calls at particular times of the day. The ability to import raw data into the customer's business analytics system of choice for integrated reporting with any existing data. Fully customizable appearance of dashboards. Insights into average handling times (AHTs) to facilitate call duration and efficiency. Insights into first call resolution to aid in reducing call transfers. Use of mobile wallets by U.S. consumers rebounds, study finds. A Mercator Advisory Group report has revealed that the use of mobile wallets by U.S. consumers has rebounded to 2016 levels or higher after a two-year decline. The study highlights consumers' use and interest in mobile devices, the use of mobile wallets, how people use mobile wallets to shop, and the use of conversational interfaces. The use of any mobile payment has increased from 48% in 2018 to 60% in 2019. In comparison, in 2016, 53% reported using a mobile wallet. Similar findings are seen when usage of universal mobile payment and digital services wallets like Apple Pay and Google Pay is separated from usage of retailer-specific wallets like those of Starbucks and Walmart. Online service providers with built-in payments like Uber and Airbnb have also seen impressive growth from 2018, 36% versus 28%. Mobile is increasingly becoming a major part of consumer shopping in the U.S. 6 in 10 report either browsing or shopping via mobile device in 2019. Mobile shopping is much more common among younger adults than others. For example, 57% of consumers 18 to 34 years or age have purchased a product or services through their smartphone compared to 19% of those 65 or older. The use of conversational interfaces through a device like a smartphone or smart speaker is currently relatively low. 2 in 10, 22%, use a conversational interface on their smartphone and about 1 in 10, 12%, are using a smart speaker. The use of these interfaces for payment transactions, bill pay, ordering food, and purchasing goods and services still has room to grow. The Mobile Payments, Making a Comeback report is based on a sample of 3,002 U.S. adults surveyed in the annual online payments survey of Mercator's North American Payments Insights series, conducted in June 2019. Companies mentioned in the survey results shown include Airbnb, Amazon, Apple, Booker, Chase, Fandango, Google, Lyft, OpenTable, Samsung, Uber, and Wells Fargo. SIA equity stakes change hands. CDP Equity and FSIA Investimenti, a company held 70% by FSI Investimenti, in turn controlled by CDP Equity with a 77% stake and 30% by Post Italian, have today concluded the acquisition of the shareholdings in SIA, the payment systems company, of F2I, HAT, Intesa San Paolo and UniCredit. More specifically, CDP Equity has acquired from F2I Ready Legish 17.05% and from Orizzonte Infrastrutture Tecnologic, entirely owned by HAT, 8.64% of SIA, thereby becoming owner of 25.69% of the company, while FSIA has acquired the shares held by UniCredit and Intesa San Paolo, equal to 3.97% each, increasing their stake in the shareholding from 49.5% to 57.5%. Commenting on the deal concluded today, Pier Paolo Di Stefano, Chief Investment Officer of CDP and CEO of CDP Equity, underlined that CDP will continue in its strategy of developing and strengthening SIA, since that of payments and financial transactions is a strategic and highly innovative sector. The acquisition of these further stakes also serves to offer more effective strategic options in order to maximize the value of the investment, the technological benefits and the creation of jobs in Italy. In these years, F2I has accompanied SIA's extraordinary industrial development that has seen it double its operations and economic results in the period in which we have held a stake in its capital, helping it to become a Europe-wide player. With this investment, we have achieved results in line with our fund's mission, create Italian infrastructural models capable of competing worldwide and generating solid returns for our investors, said Renato Ravanelli, F2I's CEO. We are highly satisfied with this operation, commented Nino Attanasio, chairman of HAT and sure of the fact that CDP will carry on in its industrial project to develop SIA in the payments area, with innovative solutions able to support the growth of the country system. The SIA acquisition, added Ignazio Castiglione, CEO of HAT, demonstrates our ability to invest in an opportunity accessible to few and to distinguish ourselves as a value-added investment fund manager, capable of contributing financial and technological know-how. Queensland Neobank preps 2020 launch. A new Australian fintech, Day Tech Capital, is due to launch Infinity in the first half of 2020 with a vision to becoming the first product disruptive bank in Australia. Initially starting with a prepaid card, the business is already working towards its restricted authorized deposit taking institution license, with an aim for it to be completed later that year. Infinity has already generated great interest in Australia, with the federal government offering assistance in support of the venture. Trade and Investment Queensland, the Queensland government's dedicated global business promotion agency, is also supporting Infinity and its potential to create skilled jobs in Queensland. Infinity is the brainchild of veteran heavyweight London banker and challenger bank expert, Will Banks, Chief Executive Officer, and Krish Gose, Chief Commercial Officer, a specialist finance, banking and property lawyer. Mr. Banks, who is in the process of migrating from London to Queensland, says, "We are creating a revolutionary and unique Australian digital bank. As a low-cost bank, our mission is to disrupt incumbent banks, including other new neobanks, by offering unique and alternative banking products that are tailored to our customers' financial situation and interests. Infinity will offer unique products and services to retail and SME consumers. It will be the first product disruptive bank in Australia and one of the first digital banks to be born out of Queensland in over 50 years, with its focus on not only fulfilling the ever-changing expectations of consumers across Australia, but also driving those consumers to want more from their bank. Using their extensive and robust connections, Mr. Banks and Mr. Gose have already secured several internationally recognized and premier partners, from technology and innovation to artificial intelligence. We are building a bank to rival the old and outdated model of banking," says Mr. Gose, a Queensland local. "We will unite exceptional and progressive technology with pioneering artificial intelligence. This will truly be a different bank to what Australian consumers have seen to date and will offer Australians and Queenslanders a homegrown bank that provides a real alternative to the status quo." Neobanks have been a growing global trend in the banking sector for the past decade. With a goal to disrupt and revolutionize the current banking model, these digital banks have enjoyed significant success in the United Kingdom and throughout Europe. A number of these banks have been valued at over $1.5 billion, such as Monzo, Revolut and N26. Australia has been observing the success of these foreign neobanks for some time, and despite the launch of a handful of neobanks in Australia over the past few years, the banking sector in Australia is still currently dominated by the big four banks, resulting in no real banking alternative to Australians. Both the Australian government and consumers have been vocal about this, which has led to the need for more competition in the Australian banking sector. It is now time to offer Australians a true alternative in banking. Welcome Infinity. How subscriptions complicate cross-border B2B payments. Companies like Netflix and Spotify have burst the doors open to the subscription economy beyond magazines and newspapers. As these recurring services go online, demand for recurring electronic payment capabilities rises as well. The subscription economy is often considered a consumer-facing ecosystem. However, with cloud storage and computing a requirement for many businesses, with the surge of software as a service (SaaS) and with B2C services like Amazon Prime embracing the B2B opportunity, recurring B2B electronic payments are an increasingly complex challenge for these service providers and the businesses paying them. In this month's Global Recurring Payments Tracker, a collaboration with Go Cardless, PYMNTS dives into the world of recurring payments as the subscription economy proliferates around the globe. As the tracker explores, supporting recurring payment capabilities continues to meet new hurdles as service providers expand their customer bases cross-border and into emerging markets, with many of these challenges applicable to both B2B and B2C subscription services. SaaS providers must understand each market's cultural differences, tax considerations, and preferred payment methods, the tracker explained, along with Rob Charlebois, Executive Vice President of Global E-Commerce and Digital Marketing at Corel, a company that offers both B2B and B2C word processing and graphics software subscription services. The bar these days is to have a full complement of local payment methods, and the relevant currency in each market, he told PYMNTS of the challenge in cross-border recurring payments. For consumers, many of these challenges include the need to support card transactions so users don't have to manually calculate foreign exchange (FX) conversion rates. FX transparency is also important. While, in some markets, customers need the option to pay in installments using local payment services, like Boleto Bancrio in Brazil. Supporting local payment services, and staying on top of which localized payment services support automatic renewal, is key to mitigating churn, he noted. The B2B subscription challenge. Earlier this week, Go Cardless announced a partnership with TransferWise to support the often unique challenges of global B2B recurring payments. An announcement on Wednesday, November 6, said that Go Cardless is working with TransferWise to develop a global network for bank debit transactions, allowing service providers to collect recurring payments not only on their subscription services, but on invoices and installments. Bank debits reduce payment failure rates, the firms noted, and allow businesses to collect payments from an array of bank debit schemes, linking into those schemes via the Go Cardless API. This solution supports the need for businesses to pay for their recurring services in their local currencies, and with a familiar payment method, without forcing the service providers to navigate the individual rules for each market's bank debit scheme. In an interview with PYMNTS, Go Cardless Vice President and General Manager of International Expansion Pranav Sood said the opportunity to address the recurring B2B payment demand is significant. There is a huge amount of growth in the recurring business model globally, he told PYMNTS Karen Webster. Businesses are moving toward these forms, partly because of consumer preference and partly because of cloud technology. While businesses may be expanding their subscription offerings, plans to grow cross-border can be quickly thwarted by their inability to accept recurring payments in other markets. This process traditionally requires companies to set up individual bank accounts in each market abroad, and manage FX hedging and other tasks related to global payments. Though card payments are often in demand in the consumer realm, Sood added that Go Cardless bank debit collaboration with TransferWise has particular potential in the B2B space, where bank debits like ACH in the US are often a preferred payment tool for both sender and receiver. It tends to work where there is parity between businesses, he said, particularly in cases where large vendors invoice smaller businesses and need a pull payment mechanism to collect. Visa on challenging B2B payments status quo. To change the status quo to upend the way it's always been done, the mantra goes, think outside the box. Or in payments, think beyond the rails. To that end, Alan Konigsberg, Global Head of New Payment Flows at Visa Business Solutions, said in a masterclass interview with Karen Webster that the B2B space represents a landscape ripe with opportunity. To get a sense of the size and scope, consider the fact that there is $120 trillion in annual B2B spend across the globe, he noted. Of that tally, roughly $4 trillion takes place via card payments. The rest of it is wire payments with foreign exchange, domestic wires, as well as cash and other types of transactions and checks, Konigsberg told Webster. For Visa, he added, the focus has been on streamlining the way B2B payments are made, with an emphasis on serving a range of financial institutions. Konigsberg's comments came against a backdrop of Visa's recently launched Visa B2B Connect, which is now live in 62 countries around the world. The company said Visa B2B Connect exists as a brand new, end-to-end global payments network that helps its financial institution clients move high-value payments cross-border for their corporate clients directly from the origin bank to the recipient bank. Funds are settled either same or next day. Visa's B2B-focused initiatives, noted Konigsberg in the masterclass interview, show that when we think about the whole B2B payments business, we don't only think about cards. We think about what we can do beyond the card. And in bringing new solutions to FIS, which in turn bring them to their own corporate clients, he said, it is important to view what more can be done through the lens of the relationship corporates have with their banks. Through the last 3 to 5 years, Konigsberg added, the continued emergence of fintechs means that a number of what he termed strong point solutions have come to market to help banks or enterprises address B2B payment flows. There is an aggregation effect that needs to happen, he said, to take those point solutions into a basket of integrated payables and integrated receivables solutions that can be pervaded across all segments of banks and, of course, across all verticals of corporates. And in bringing such integrated solutions to end clients, Konigsberg noted that it is crucial for banks to demonstrate that returns on investment will be significant, representing an improvement to existing B2B payment processes that is not just better for buyers and suppliers alike, but is a step change better. The embrace of integrated solutions has benefits up and down supply chains, Konigsberg said, and for all stakeholders in the B2B payments realm. Whether you buy it, build it, or you partner to deliver these solutions, we think it brings together an industry that includes Visa, financial technology companies and their partners around the world that are really looking to help drive change and to identify challenges that haven't even been articulated yet, he said. Looking at the B2B space over the past decade, Konigsberg told Webster, we've made a lot of progress, and there is still much more to be made. How back-office fintech boosts SPA's recurring revenue opportunity. Every small business, SMB, and entrepreneur wants to boost revenue, and recurring customers are a welcome source of cash inflows. However, for salons and spas, reliance on recurring sales can be critical to business success. Back-office technology is paramount in supporting an elevated consumer experience, but this industry struggles with additional, industry-specific back-office challenges, as Matt Donna, co-founder and CEO of Boulevard, recently told PYMNTS. Consider, for a moment, how common it is for a customer to change or cancel an appointment made with a salon or spa. According to Donna, these changes, which often occur last minute, not only mean sudden lost revenues for these businesses, but jeopardize the ability for a salon or spa to continue working with that customer as a future client. Salons and spas have very specific operating procedures that cannot be shoehorned from other horizontal point-of-sale POS or vertical software-as-a-service SaaS platforms, Donna explained. He added that the U.S. salon and spa market today captures more than $200 billion in consumer spend, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, meaning it's a big enough market to justify an industry-specific platform. Investors think so, too, with Index Ventures recently leading a Series A funding round for Boulevard to the tune of $11 million. Backers also included Bonfire Ventures, Ludlow Ventures, Box Group and Luma Launch. Designing an industry-specific platform means integrating features and addressing industry-specific challenges. In this market, that means last-minute cancellations or no-shows, as well as support for the industry's reliance on recurring clients. The rule of thumb is that they need to make 90% of their revenue from their existing clients, said Donna. However, they have not been properly equipped with technology that helps convert customers from visitors into valuable, long-term clients. They need something more than just a POS. They need customer relationship management, CRM. In other words, while supporting the customer experience certainly means adopting high-quality, customer-facing technologies, like a POS, it must also include a back-office strategy, like CRM technology. Back-office challenges. CRM technology enables a salon or spa to analyze customer behavior, like product and service preferences. Aggregating industry-wide customer information can also support businesses' ability to benchmark their performance against their peers, said Donna. However, a better customer experience and a higher chance of a recurring client involves more than analyzing such trends. Inventory management is another component of supporting the customer experience. After all, it's one thing to analyze data to understand which products and services generate the most revenue. It's another to ensure that those products are in stock in anticipation of that demand. As Donna explained, this market operates with two kinds of inventory, appointment slots and retail products. While product sales can support revenue generation, he noted that this should only make up about 10% of cash inflows. The rest stems from maximizing schedule availability and using technology to minimize gaps in the schedule or no-show clients, using analytics to understand a past customer's history of no-shows and other metrics. A better provider experience. Another unique aspect of this market is that many of the technicians and service providers working within an SMB can also be solopreneurs, operating as independent businesses, and often using various venues in which to provide their services. This means that platforms supporting back-office operations must not only be designed for the managers of these venues, but for the service providers in need of scheduling technology to minimize those gaps. Multi-location support is crucial for this market, said Donna, as is customization, allowing professionals to work at different locations. Just as back-office technology must support a better customer experience, these tools must also enhance the service provider's experience. They must provide support for salon owners and managers to check out clients on behalf of the 1099 workers who service them, yet ensure the funds are deposited directly into that professional's bank account, while maintaining compliance to employee classification and compensation laws. Finally, integration across platforms, from the front office to the back, means synchronized and automated data entry and reconciliation between the POS, accounting platforms and ERP systems for accuracy and transparency in company financials. As businesses of all verticals and sizes continue to digitize, the connection between consumer-facing operations and the back office becomes clearer. Yet, in the salon and spa market, with businesses so reliant on customer satisfaction for recurring revenue, as well as on independent professionals operating across venues, such connectivity is even more crucial for stronger cash flow. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again PayCademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.